the Foyer with Bill Stevens.
A confronting new play by Canberra playwright David Atfield will have its world premiere in the Street Theatre on Saturday, the 10th of November. The play is called Exclusion. And joining me in the foyer to talk about Exclusion, I'm delighted to welcome the author and director, David Atfield.
David, what inspired you to write Exclusion?
Well, it dates back a few years now. When I originally wrote it, the marriage equality debate was still raging. And since then, I've had to adapt it a little to keep up with the times. But the main reason I wanted to write it was my sense that many politicians had really lost track of who they were. Like, they knew what they were doing, what their policies were, but they often lose track of who they actually are as human beings. And that's what I wanted to write about, and specifically in relation to sexuality, in terms of politicians forgetting what their sexuality is and starting to play the political game totally absorbs them, so they forget all about being human beings.
How did you go about putting that into a play? What does Exclusions concern?
I've decided to write kind of from the point of view of the other man, if you like. That is, a man who's involved in a relationship with another man who's married to a woman. And I thought, wouldn't that be interesting in a political context? Imagine if a politician was having an affair with his male staffer and when he's actually married to a woman.
And not actually unheard of.
No, well, I'm sure it has happened. But of course, this play is a work of fiction, not based on anyone in particular. But I thought it was an intriguing premise. If you looked at, say, the Barnaby Joyce situation with his staffer, what if that staffer had been a man instead of a woman and it had become a public issue? What would have happened then? Would it have been different? I don't know. That was really the question I wanted to ask. And so that's kind of how the storyline from the play came about. And I look at two different politicians in the play. So one is an older married man and the other is a slightly younger married man. The younger man is having the affair with the staffer, and his public policies are actually quite homophobic, so there's a hypocrisy going on there as well, which makes it difficult for the young man who's involved in the relationship as well, because he's in love with this man, but at the same time he can't respect his policies. But in the course of the play, the young man is sent into the office of the other man, the older politician, to spy on him, essentially, because he's a rival for the prime ministership. And discovers all sorts of things that he didn't expect to find. And I think that's where the play gets very interesting, but I don't want to get into too much of the plot and give too much away, but some very interesting things happen. And that involves the two wives as well. There are five characters in the play, so there's the three men I mentioned, plus the wives of each of the politicians, and how this whole scenario affects them and their lives as well, because, of course, that's another complexity that comes into play. And indeed, politicians' wives generally, the role they play in supporting their husbands. And increasingly, we hope, there'll be husbands in those roles as wives become the politicians. But in this play, I'm still looking at sort of contemporary events, and mostly the politicians are still men, of course, with wives who are their main support. But if you add another man into the mix, what happens? So that's really what the play is about.
It's interesting times. How long did it take you to write the play?
Not that long to actually write. It's been 3 years in the making, I suppose, this play. It usually takes a while to get a play to production. I did a creative development on it last year, which got some very positive feedback, which really encouraged me to keep going with it. When you look at my previous play, Scandalous Boy, which was a very different sort of play, but on similar themes of around power and sex and the relationship between the two of them. But this is, I think, a more... hesitate to use the word mature, but I guess that's the right word, mature work, in terms of there's no narrator, as we had in Scandalous Boy. This is told as a drama. That was harder for me, I suppose, than having a narrator who helps to fill in some of the gaps in the plot. So I had to do it all in the dialogue, and that's much more challenging. But I actually found it much more fulfilling as well in the end. I think it's a better play than Scandalous Boy in terms of the writing. And I like the fact that it's set in a contemporary setting rather than in a period setting as well, so that I can bring up contemporary issues. And I guess it's the lead character, Craig, the young man, is kind of similar to Antinous in many ways, in that he's that younger man who's very together about his sexuality. I mean, that's something I admire very much about the younger generation today of queer people who are very content with who they are. For me, it was much more difficult. You had to go through a whole coming out process and bullied at school and all those things that happened to me. And it took me a long time to come to terms with who I was. Whereas young people come out at school now and are very together about it. And that's something I'm quite envious of and something that I cover in the play as well, because the characters are all of different ages and they relate to sexuality in a very different way as a result of their upbringing. So I thought that was an interesting thing to explore as well. I think people who have saw Scandalous Boy will see some similarities in this, but they'll also see a lot of differences.
I'm talking with David Atfield, the author and director of a brand new play, Exclusion, which is having its world premiere in the Street Theatre next month.
Now, you have a double role in this. Not only have you written it, but you're directing it.
That's right.
Tell me about your cast.
Well, I have a very exciting cast. Ethan Gibson's back, who played Antinous in Scandalous Boy, so it's very interesting to see him continue in kind of my young gay hero role.
And when you say he's back, he's not been wasting his time between plays.
No, he went straight into NIDA after Scandalous Boy and did the acting course there, which he's just graduated from. So it's great to welcome him back to Canberra after 3 years of training. So I'd be curious to see what he's learnt during that time as well and what improvements he's made to his skills. I mean, he was an amazing actor back then, so be very excited to see how he's developed. The rest of the cast, well, all of the cast are local because Ethan is as well. So they're all Canberra actors. So Fee Hopkins and Tracy Bourne are playing the two wives, and Craig Alexander and Michael Sparks are the two politicians. So it's a very strong cast indeed.
Why choose to write a play about this topic rather than, say, a novel?
Okay, I don't know if I'd know how to write a novel. I tend to think in dialogue. I think that's probably why.
And that's probably the answer too, because you're a man of theatre.
Yeah.
And then having written your play, you're working with people now to bring that into existence.
Indeed. It's interesting because I kind of consider myself to be a director who writes rather than a writer who directs. But yeah, who knows which way that pendulum's going to fall in over the coming years. But that's the way I kind of look at it. And I write for myself to direct. So I've always got the visuals in mind as well and how I want to stage it. In a way, the line between writer and director is a little bit blurry in my case, which I find quite exciting and people find quite novel because it's unusual in theatre. It happens more in film, but it's rarer for a writer and director to be the same person. But I think it's quite interesting adventure and I'm also producing this one as well, so there's
three hats.
There's a lot of work to do, but it's nice to have that full control as well. I suppose I'm a bit of a megalomaniac as well. I like to have some control over my work. If I handed it to another director, I don't know what they'd do with it, and they might ruin it, in my opinion. You know.
So. However, you'll have had the opportunity to establish a template, but not the only one, because quite often it's a sort of a wisdom that playwrights should rarely direct their own plays,
yes,
because it's very close to them.
Yes.
You obviously don't subscribe to that.
No, and it's interesting with this play too, because there are some autobiographical elements in it. I've included some incidents from my past in the pasts of some of the characters. And I did think about that when I was writing it, but I think it's distant enough from me for me to be able to do it. If I was writing something purely autobiographical, I could understand that argument. But this one's also looking at broader political issues. So I don't think it's too personal for me to handle. I think if I do write that very personal story, then it might be good to hand it over to someone else, but I haven't done that yet.
Well, it would be interesting, wouldn't it, to see another director's take on Scandalous Boy, how they would approach it.
I would love
now that you've got 3 years' distance from it.
Indeed. I would really love to see how someone else would tackle it. I mean, it's kind of nice to do the first one, so you do it the way you want to do it first. Yeah, I would love to see how someone else tackled it and how they would tackle Exclusion as well. I think the play has a lot of the sort of sensual, sexual elements that I like to include in theatre that audiences find very exciting. It's still unusual in theatre now. Theatre tends to be rather more intellectual based, I think, in a lot of cases. This one's much more sensual and earthy and passionate. And they're the kind of things I like to see on stage as well. I think they're exciting and they get audiences involved in the action. So I'd hate to hand it over to another director and have them take that sort of element out of it and make it just a wordy talk fest, because it's never intended to be like that. Fortunately, I've got Imogen Keane designing for me, who's an amazing visual artist. And she's already coming up with some amazing ideas for how to stage this, which have just knocked my socks off. So it's going to look stunning, and she's really supporting that sort of sensual idea. In addition, we have one of Australia's top lighting designers, Hartley T.A. Kemp, who's coming in, flying in from London, in fact, where he's been working with companies like the National Theatre and the Royal Shakespeare Company.
How did that come about?
Through some contacts in Sydney. Kate Gall, who's a friend in Sydney, is a director, has worked with him before. She recommended him when I couldn't find a lighting designer locally. And I contacted him and was amazed when he said yes, given the money I'm paying especially. But he was really interested in the play. So he's flying in, doing the show, and flying out again, I think, to Mexico to do another show. So he's becoming this international lighting designer now, so I'm really excited to have him on board.
Because lighting design has become such a feature of productions. It's coming to its own as a really necessary element.
Indeed. And there are 20 scenes in this play, so it's quite a scene change heavy play, I suppose. So it's good to have someone working on making those scenes look different from each other, as well as helping with the transitions between them. Because as in Scandalous Boy, I don't want any blackouts in this production. I hate blackouts in theatre. So I want the scene changes to happen in front of the audience. And lighting designer is really important when it comes to that, as indeed is a sound designer. And I have a local guy called James Teague, who's worked at the Canberra Theatre a lot. And he's coming in and he's putting together a pop music score, which is going to cover some of the gaps in between, which I'm quite excited about. We're using music by older queer groups like the Pet Shop Boys and contemporary queer music like Troye Sivan, who's, you know, Troye Sivan and Pet Shop Boys, it's interesting to compare the two. Troye Sivan being sort of my young gay hero again, somebody who's very together about his sexuality and never hid it. And the Pet Shop Boys, who, despite the fact that their music was so obviously, you know, queer-oriented, never came out until the early 90s. So it's very interesting to compare that, and I think the music's going to kind of enhance the themes of the play in that regard as well.
David, I can see you're really fascinated by this project.
Yes.
And we're very much looking forward to seeing it. Good luck with it.
Thank you.
And thank you for telling us all about it.
Thanks, Bill.
Author and director of Exclusion, David Atfield. Exclusion opens in the Street Theatre on Saturday the 10th of November and continues until Saturday the 17th of November. You'll find full details of all the performances on the Street Theatre website, where you can also make your bookings.
This is Bill Stevens, looking forward to seeing you in a foyer soon.